if you are located outside of the European Union, the United Kingdom and or Switzerland, then you need an authorized representative. So, I have a good news. You have found it with Easy Medical Device. And if you are also in need of an importer in Europe and in Switzerland, then contact us definitely at info@easymedicaldevice.com. info@easymedicaldevice.com, and I'm sure we can help you. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. I am Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market. For that, I share with you my experience and the one of others on this podcast. Are you ready for your dose of regulation and standards today? Okay, so let the show begin. Welcome to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast. Here is Mounir Elazouzi from easymedicaldevice.com. And today we'll try to help you to manage your 510K or your submissions with the FDA. And there is a specific meeting that you can use for that, which is called pre-submission or Q-sub. And for that, I have with me Sahad Atia, who is a consultant in the medical devices. So welcome, Sahad, to the Medical Device Made Easy podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great. So Sahad, just maybe before we start to talk about this great topic that is Q-sub or pre-submission for FDA, can you give us more details about who you are and what you are doing exactly?
Sure. So I've been in the medical device space for about 20 years now in some role related to regulatory quality, quality engineering, compliance, and warning letter remediation. I have experience across the US, Canada, and the European Union. I've had the opportunity to work across many devices, such as sterilizers, sterilants, neurovascular devices, orthopedics, IVDs, aspirators, ventilators, and xenografts. I've also been fortunate to work in human cell tissue products as well.
Great.
Really appreciate the opportunity to share my experience. Just a little bit more, I've had the opportunity to submit to FDA on this particular topic, a pre-IDE before the official process was kicked off, pre-submissions for devices under enforcement actions, and recently a pre-sub addressing a neurovascular device.
Great. So we have the right experts here to tell us more about this topic of Q-sub then. So maybe just to start now, the simple question maybe for people also that have no clue what we are talking about here, and they say, okay, I come to listen to this, but what is a pre-submission? What is a Q-sub with FDA? So how would you summarize that, Manny?
So let me start. This topic is very large. There are many items that fall into the Q-sub bucket, such as informational meetings, day 100 PMA meetings, submission issue requests, study risk determination, early collaboration meetings associated with possible breakthrough devices, safer technologies, and many more. So this is a very, very broad area. Today, my intent is to discuss the pre-submission topic only for future pre-marketing applications. So before I go into it any further, I'd like to provide some ground rules, a fence. What a Q-sub isn't.
Okay.
A Q-sub isn't a request for general information or question. It's not there for FDA to design your clinical trial designs. It's not intended for to substitute your own research on the medical device design and development practices. It's not intended to address reviewer questions or questions that can be readily answered. It's not intended to be an interactive review for an active submission. It's not the process to appeal a decision like a non-substantial equivalence letter. It's not a quest for a jurisdictional designation in RFD, nor is it intended to provide you with device classification. These are all distinct processes and they're out of scope today.
Exactly. And I suppose those processes are more for consultants to help the manufacturers and to work on that instead of FDA working, helping you on this, mainly.
That's correct. So, what
now
is
that we cleared, now that we cleared what it is not, then now what it is exactly then?
So what is a pre-sub? It's a free voluntary interaction between a sponsor and the FDA with the intent to help steer the design and development process that a company faces and to discuss future pre-market applications such as a PMA, 510K, de novo, HD, etc. A little history before we continue further. In 1995, there was this pre-IDE process. It was intended to discuss IDE studies for future applications. In that time, it began to morph into discussing pre-market submissions and pre-market applications. So it became a very large process, somewhat unstructured, and there was obviously a need. In 2013, it became the modern QSUB program, in which FDA built a former structure to address the QSUB needs and timings and likely. And in recent history, it was updated again just to clarify interactions that were included and excluded in pre-submissions, as well as some minor tweaks.
Great. And so yeah, I think it's interesting here to understand that also something is this is really a way for you to approach the FDA before to really submit your application and to tell them mainly, to ask them questions, if I can say, as we said, excluded all what we talked before, but mainly this is a way for them to really communicate. I mean, from what you've said, it's really a way to open the communication with the FDA before you really submit the final file that you want to you want them to review.
Correct. Its intent is to discuss key items that the company believe are essential and gain alignment, including the regulatory pathway. Let me just give you a couple of examples. You're taking your humanitarian use device with a very focused indication, and then you want to broaden the indication and open it up for a PMA. So that's a very large undertaking. This is a kind of submission that, you know, you would approach them, or you would approach them with, we believe that this is a de novo 510K requiring special controls. It's going to be first to market. And, you know, to be able to get in front of that discussion and ensure that you have your regulatory strategy perfected and that you have the special controls in place in order to get this device cleared. It's also used to discuss clinical and non-clinical testing, such as, you know, worst case bench testing, or can this testing be conducted in a cadaver instead of a clinical trial? Or a case where in a clinical trial is necessary, what kind of clinical trial type are we looking at? Are we looking at trial sizes, designs for those trials? Additionally, you're looking at predicate devices and the technologies associated with some of these predicates and some of the concerns that they have. But ultimately, it's to have this discussion to address questions with FDA.
So questions, as we say, questions is not like, what is the classification of my product? Questions is, here is, I think, the classification of my product. Here is, I think, the predicate. Here are the elements. Do you think it's correct? Is it like that? Or?
So something to that effect. There are good questions and there are bad questions. And we can go over the good and bad questions, you know, a little bit later.
Yeah.
And most importantly, I think this is critical for everyone to know, that the timeframes are roughly 75 to 90 days. There's, you know, we can discuss that a little bit later in the podcast, just to provide everyone with proper optics.
Exactly. Yeah. So now in terms of companies mainly, first, it's an option
It's not like I am obliged to do that. So why do you think, or why would you recommend, or would you recommend people to use that, and why mainly they will do that?
So if it's a straightforward Me Too product that would fall under 510K, that's well classified, well characterized, I wouldn't necessarily go down that route per se. However, if you're unsure or uncertain, this might be a good way of getting in front of FDA. You want to build rapport. You want to build that early interaction. More importantly, if your device is a bit novel, you gain alignment on the testing and the regulatory pathway. Without a pre-sub, and I've learned this and experienced this firsthand, if the product is slightly novel, the agency could have a lot of questions.
Okay.
And this causes delays in the project. And you've already invested money in a submission, a 510K or the like. You may have a series of questions that the reviewer has, and you could potentially be facing situations where more testing is needed, where there's a possibility, a distinct possibility of withdrawing the submission, or facing a non-substantial equivalence letter. So time and expenses are factors. So, you know, smaller companies, you know, have time on their mind. So to avoid loss of time, this may be a good option to do early on in your design and development process.
Hey, just a second. Do you need an EU, Swiss, or UK representative? Then choose Easy Medical Device. We can represent you and also become your importer. Contact us at eo@easymedicaldevice.com. Exactly. So it means that before they have finalized all their design and development, before they have worked on all the strategy and everything, the idea is that before all that, they are presenting to the FDA their plans and their strategies and everything to get, if I can say, an alignment from the FDA, and then to be sure that, or to be in the safe side, that what they have decided to do is fine, and not to discover that at the end. So it's what you are saying, Manny, you will not lose time and money and everything at that moment. So this is the idea of why a pre-submission is really important here.
Correct. I mean, you do want to have your design tightened up. You want to make sure that you can explain to the agency what the product is. And when you go in front of the agency, you're working with a fixed concept. And they're only looking at that fixed concept. You don't want to go in there with a lot of ambiguity or ambivalence. You want to be able to go in definitively saying, this is what my product looks like.
So when the meeting is done and the questions were answered mainly, so is this something that is stored, like there is an history on your files about that, and that can be used for the final submission? Or it's really, no, it's just a meeting, you are getting the answers, and then we don't record anything, and then we are, when you submit, they will not remember what they have told you during the Q-sub.
So the company is responsible for creating the minutes.
Okay.
And providing those minutes to FDA to get alignment on. And those minutes are memorialized. And in your submission, 510K or PMA or whatever it might be, you would, or my recommendation, better yet, would be to document what was discussed and what was agreed upon. This helps the reviewer in that process. Again, the reviewer may find additional topics and they have to address those. Companies do have to address those topics.
Okay, and so if you have made a meeting again, a Q-sub again, you presented your case, everything was agreed, and let's say like 3 months after, you decide to change something. Can it happen, or it's fine, or you'll have to do something about that?
So if the design does change, you do need to go back to the agency and explain to them, this is what changed, you know, the regulatory history of the device, the changes, and get alignment between the FDA and yourself to make sure that the initial discussion is still valid. So there are supplements that do need to be filed. It makes it easier, transparent in the submission, and you're staying in sync with the original guidance and agreement that you had with FDA.
And a question that a lot of people were asking me about those Q-subs is more about financially. It's more about, does it cost me something to do that? How much it costs to make an appointment with the FDA? Is it like an hourly rate or whatever? So what's the answer about that?
Sure. So it's a free submission.
Okay.
Purely voluntary. It does have a particular format at this particular time. At the time of this recording, FDA was working on PreStar, which is another beta version. So the contents of pre-submission are pretty straightforward. There's a cover letter describing the device, you know, just high level, and requesting a meeting, providing in the submission, you put the pre-market review cover sheet. You have a table of contents. You have a detailed device description. You have a proposed intended use and indication for use statement, letting them know what your device is going to be used for. Regulatory history, if this is a brand new submission, you just say this is a brand new submission. Otherwise, you provide discussion on the previous submission, provide commentary on that. You generally provide a product development overview. You then request for feedback. Now, that feedback can be in the form of a meeting, or it could be in the form of an email. So pre-submission timing, you know, if you do request a meeting with them, you've got to pick three or more dates if you want to be careful, and an hour block. You can request more than an hour. I've requested more than an hour myself and was granted that time. You generally receive feedback 70 days or 5 days prior to the meeting. And then you have the meeting, which typically occurs between day 70 and 75. Again, this is sometimes very fluid. I saw that fluidity during COVID. Otherwise, you can get written feedback at about day 70. You provide the format of the meeting that you'd like, whether it's a Zoom conference, face-to-face. You ask for any audio-visual needs if you're having a meeting with FDA, and you provide them with the planned attendees. You want to make sure that all of that detail is captured, and you want to provide them with the agenda.
So when you are saying this listing, if I can say, of all what should be done, it looks like it's there is no improvisation here. It's not like, oh, I need a meeting with you to discuss and to talk here. It's like, show me the detail of your device, show me the history of the regulatory, show me the question, show me everything. So it's like preparing a dossier for this meeting. So many, I suppose this is many for the reviewer that will be with you during the Q-Sub to already digest information about this product and really help you to answer them. So it's really that. It's not like there is, you'll be in front of them, ask the question, and then they will have to find, if I can say, the answers.
Correct. They need to be, they need the information. And these kinds of pre-submissions are not limited to only one person. There's a group of people that would be looking at this. So this information is for that panel to evaluate. So it is not a one-off kind of discussion. One person is looking at it. This is for a group to evaluate.
And the 70 to 90 days mainly has to be also placed in your calendar on that, because it can be long time. So if you think that you are ready for submitting, but you want to press up before, and then you have like 3 months to wait before maybe to reserve an application or an answer about that. So it's really something that they have to take into account when they, if they want really to go there. So it's why asking for it really early in the process is really key here.
Planning is essential. Planning is essential. And just to add one note, once you've had that meeting with FDA, the company is responsible for creating those meeting minutes and getting those meeting minutes back to FDA in a timely manner where you and FDA gain alignment on that content. So, and then you can move forward.
So in terms of the Q-Sub, so this is a pre-submission, then we have the submission. So is there a link, or is the person that has done the pre-sub also the one that will do the review of your file, or it's completely disconnected? There is two different people that will do the review.
It may be the same person. It may be someone different. This is why documenting the regulatory history and the meeting minutes are essential. That's key.
Okay. And mainly this is one of the tools that is existing for a medical device manufacturer to submit that. So is there also a restriction to the fact that it should be a US company that should do that, or a UK company? Or, so can we be everywhere in the world and do that, or there is some restrictions also for who can apply for this?
No, it's available to the world. It's not specific to a particular country or region. Okay. If you have a medical device, having that kind of discussion is good. Medical devices come from all facets of the world, all places. So exactly. having these meetings is essential.
And would you advise also to get some people, someone that is really specialized in this kind of submission to help companies to do that? Because I suppose a lot of companies are maybe we'll not really understand exactly how to prepare that and how to, I mean, maybe a company needs a coach, if I can say, or somebody really that will help them, like a consultant to help them on this process, and not to go and maybe lose some time or lose some focus, or as you said, make something where it's normally excluded within a Q-Sub. So, and then also lose some traction here about the process.
So I would recommend a coach. I would recommend a consultant to help navigate this process with a firm. Smaller firms, definitely, for sure. Most of the innovation is coming out of smaller organizations.
Exactly, yeah.
So having this kind of expertise will help. And will facilitate ease of communication, will provide good coaching, and possibly lead you to a good space.
Exactly. Yeah. So because what we do, as we said, the this process can be also long. The preparation is important to provide the right information, the right questions, to be also coached, as I've said, in terms of how to behave also during the meeting, like what will happen exactly, when is the time to ask questions, what you can get, and also to take those notes, etc. So it's why I'm saying that maybe some kind of training or somebody to help you on that can be really, really beneficial here. So FDA is doing that. Europe, we don't have really this kind of thing. So I think it's really beneficial also for manufacturers to go that. In Europe, we have notified bodies. So we don't talk directly to the EU Commission. So notified bodies, this is companies where you can talk with them, but they cannot consult. So I think it looks a bit the same also, like the fact that we can talk with the FDA, but it's not a consulting, if I can say. They are not giving us, you should go in that direction or that direction. It's more about here, what you are doing is looks good or it's fine or it's sufficient, but they are not really going through consultancy at all here.
Correct. So let's go back to a couple of questions that, you know, a company might have. You don't want to leave the door open for FDA to dictate the type of testing you want or need to do. For example, a bad question is biocompatibility testing required?
Okay.
That's a very broad question. Maybe you need to focus it on, we're proposing hemiocompatibility isn't required and the why. Or what type of clinical trial design does FDA require? Again, they don't provide or consult on that level. Or should we run a clinical trial? The answer would most likely be yes. So you want to be targeted and specific with your questions. For example, we're proposing a single arm clinical trial with a sample of N with the following inclusion and exclusion criteria. We believe that this is sufficient to demonstrate safety and effectiveness of the device. Do you agree? But I do want to preface it. FDA is there to ensure companies' devices are safe and effective. But leaving a very broad area for FDA to dictate what one needs to do could make things harder. You could be potentially be digging yourself out from the proverbial hole and explaining why their recommendations or why their suggestions may be on risk. So the key here is asking targeted, specific questions that apply to your device where you need to gain alignment.
As you said, also, for example, another question, as we have always this question about, for example, predicate device. The question is mainly, here are three devices, which one can be the right predicate for it? So this is not the good question. Mainly the question is, here is the one I choose. Here is the reason I choose it. And here are maybe some differences about this, my two devices. Do you think this can be accepted by the FDA? Is this the kind of things or?
Yes, that's a very good question. That is a very good question. Targeted and focused, you're providing the FDA with, you know, that with the information, the background that the company has performed, justified why that device is considered acceptable. And
so
alignment.
Yeah, once I heard somebody that says, oh, I made a Q-sub and it was not really effective, and asked why many, and they said, oh, we have asked question like, can you confirm what is the classification of my device, as you said, and they said, oh, look at the guidance number, blah 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 blah. So I mean, it's like just targeting or referencing the guidances that are existing with FDA by saying like, do the job. I mean, it's not like us who should do the job. It's you who should do the job for that. So it's why we are trying really to emphasize that yeah, FDA is not here to do the work for you. They are here just to validate what you have decided as the right strategy. And maybe, I don't think they will give you advice. We'll say yes or no, I suppose. Or there is a way they will say, we prefer that you do this or we prefer that you do that.
In my experience, I have not had preference put in. That they don't do.
So they do mainly say yes or no or something else, or?
For example, you know, in a past experience with a device I worked on, we proposed a particular clinical trial strategy with our reasoning, and they disagreed and requested a different type of study.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, we're suggesting this is what we need to see.
Okay. So it's really like it's black or white mainly. So it's it's okay, or we don't want that, but we want that. It's preferable to have that.
In this particular example, it was, your study design is not appropriate. This is what we want.
Okay, understand. So, as I said, be really careful for the people that are listening on how you will design that. So, having, as I've said, a consultant or somebody that will help you, someone that has really experience on that can really help you on designing this. And it would be worth, I think, having this kind of support because, yeah, there are things that you can do and things that you cannot do. And it's better to know it in advance than to discover that during the meeting or discover that after, to say we waited 3 months. We asked the question, but at the end we got no advancement on our project because we have no clue still where we are going, etc. So it's why I think investing on a bit of time on this is really, really important. So Saad, can you tell us more also on this topic? How can you help? Maybe you can also be one of those coaches that can help the team. So what can you do and for the people that are listening to us here?
Sure. So I am available. I could be reached at saad.atiyah@gmail.com. Like I said, I've been through this process a few times. You know, I was able to successfully navigate pre-IDE. I've seen both positive and negative outcomes as a result of QSUBS. So having that experience provides some assurances. This is not a guarantee.
Yeah.
But having that experience to navigate the maze is critical.
Exactly. So where people can follow up with you, then email, LinkedIn, sure. I suppose also?
Email or LinkedIn. Okay. I could be reached at saad.atiyah@gmail.com.
I will put everything on the show notes, yeah.
Or I can be connected on LinkedIn.
Great. So don't hesitate if people have any questions, so you can contact directly Saad Atiyah. I will put, as I said, all the details on the show notes so that you can reach out to him if you have any question about what he said on the episode or if you need any support directly from him. So Saad, it was really a pleasure. Thank you again for your help and all the information that you provided. I hope it will be really helpful for people that are going through this process, but yeah, it's an important process, but be careful. Yeah, there are some rules, so get some consultant like Saad also maybe to help you on that. So Saad, really thank you and wish you a nice day.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Great. Mounir Elazouzi, a medical device expert specialized on quality and regulatory affairs. My mission is to help you learn how to place a compliant medical device on the market.